Hey, babe, I got you something.
A gift?
Yeah, here.
Ooh.
Open it.
Wow. Is this what I think it is?
It is.
But I thought the old lady dropped it in the ocean at the end.
Well, I swam down and got it for you.
Wow. True love does exist.
So if you were on a door floating in freezing water, would you let me up on that door?
Yeah, you could definitely get on that door with me.
Even if it meant that, you know, our body weights combined were too heavy for the door and the door would sink?
And then at least we would die together. It would be very poetic.
Like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, like that couple from The Notebook.
I don't know who that is.
You never watched The Notebook?
No. Does it have Ryan Gosling in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Rachel McAdams.
I don't know who that is.
When they're the old people, it's different actors.
What?
They didn't
just use technology to age them up?
No, they didn't. They had all different actors.
Weird.
Yeah, speaking of movies that I need to make you watch eventually, Titanic was on that list until recently, and I made you watch it.
Until you made me watch it. It was.
Because it's just a movie that I think everybody needs to see. You know, it's a classic.
It was okay.
Yeah, you know, I did forget about the whole Titanic sinking part.
The main focus of the movie.
Yeah, that takes up a lot more of the movie than I remember. When I was thinking back about it, like, the love story was the main thing that I remembered about the movie. And then when I made you rewatch it, or when I made you watch it and I rewatched it, I was like, oh my God, this is like pretty traumatic. I'm like, oh, I forgot about all the sad stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of sad stuff. It was a well-done movie. It was pretty good overall.
Yeah. So this is not revenge for me making you watch Titanic, that you're making me play Titanic?
I mean, it kind of is. I thought it would be funny mostly.
Okay.
It's like, hey, we recently watched this movie. In fact, I wanted to pick it earlier, but we had some other stuff come up.
Mm-hmm.
I forget why, but I had to put it off for a long time, longer than I wanted to.
And you were like, you know what? We just did a bunch of scary games. Let's do the total opposite of that.
Well, my logic was, hey, like, The Last of Us is kind of like one of the top games ever. So let's, like, go bring it back down. Bring it back down to the bottom.
Way down, the very bottom. Yeah. The bottom of the ocean. Well, for those of you who are here and you're listening to us, we're Press Any Button. I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric.
And today we're talking about Titanic.
Titanic.
No, I did not mispronounce that. It is T-I-T-E-N-I-C. And it is a beat-em-up for the Nintendo Entertainment System based on the 1997 film Titanic. Well, obviously. And developed by Hummer Technologies. The first documented release of it online was on the 2005 multi-cart Super New Year cart 15-in-1.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It's a pretty interesting history for this game.
Yeah. I have a feeling the history is going to be more interesting than the actual game.
You think so? I thought the game was pretty interestingly written.
Interesting.
Did you read the whole story?
We'll hear more about that later.
Okay, yeah. We'll get into it.
This is kind of a random game. Were you able to find a lot of information about it?
Way more than I thought I would.
Nice.
Before I picked it, I was curious about that too, to see if I could really find much on this. And I was like, okay, yeah, there actually is a pretty good amount of information on this game.
I don't even know if I saw a Wikipedia page for this game though. Was there one?
No, not a Wikipedia page, but
you really had to go and find some different stuff.
There was a great website called bootleggames.fandom and had a ton of information.
Nice.
But yeah.
But you know it's an obscure game if there's not even a Wikipedia page about it.
Oh, yeah. This wouldn't be the first game that didn't have a Wikipedia page, though.
All the ones I've chosen so far at least have one, I think. But anyways.
So the story of the Titanic is a story as old as time.
Nice.
As old as time. So we're going to begin in Taiwan in 1996.
1996. Okay.
Okay. So we join our main protagonist, Hummer Technologies, hard at work on their latest video game, Mortal Kombat 3.
Nice.
Which they, of course, are making for the original NES.
Okay.
So you may be asking yourself, wait a minute, I thought Midway developed Mortal Kombat 3 and released it for the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis consoles in 1995.
Yeah, I was totally thinking that, for sure.
That exact information. Well, you.
But I was also thinking, isn't that kind of late to be developing a game for the NES? Wasn't there newer systems out by then?
Yes, and that is a very good observation.
Thank you.
And you are correct, but did I say Hummer Technologies was working on Mortal Kombat 3? They actually changed the title screen, and now it's Mortal Kombat 4.
Oh, okay.
Wait, now it's being sold as Ultimate Mortal Kombat 4.
Oh, God.
And this is the world of bootleg games. So we're going to be talking about bootleg games. Titanic is a bootleg game.
What are bootleg games? I'm not familiar with this.
I am glad.
Because, like, a bootleg movie... It's just like when you sneak a camera into the theater and you record the movie and then you release it before it comes out on streaming.
Yeah.
Or back in the day before it came out on DVD.
It's a bit of a similar concept. You can definitely do a ROM hack of a game and like change some sprites and re-release it. And that could be a bootleg game.
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of our discussion, a bootleg game is a game made and sold without ever being licensed by the console maker.
Okay.
It usually, but doesn't necessarily, breach someone else's copyright, like using copyrighted characters or making a hack of an existing game.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Nintendo never approved Titanic to be sold, and it was sold anyway, and that's what makes it a bootleg game.
Nice. Was it sold out of the trunks of people's cars or out of like those jackets that people open up and it's like, oh, I got some bootleg games, you know?
I don't think it ever made its way to the U.S.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and there's a reason for that. Like, in the U.S., there was never a huge market for bootleg games. Like,
huh. Okay.
Except maybe online later.
Mm-hmm.
Once the internet started becoming more popular.
I wonder why. If they're all the same quality as this game. Yeah, there's probably a reason for that.
Yeah, the first and most obvious reason is the fact that in the U.S., copyright laws are usually enforced.
Mm-hmm. Yes, strictly.
So Nintendo could just sue whoever is making or selling the bootleg game and drive them out of business.
Yeah.
Yeah, bootleg games and consoles thrive in areas where copyright claims are difficult to enforce, like Taiwan, China, and India.
Okay, so that makes sense.
The second reason is the lockout hardware and the NESs that were sold in the U.S. and Europe, and the fact that they made it really difficult to make bootleg games that would run on those consoles. So... have you ever booted up an NES game and you've seen like the flashing green or just like a green screen?
I think so. Yeah.
That's part of the lockout technology for the NES.
Okay.
And it is a huge pain in the ass because, yeah, it's caused all sorts of other issues.
Mm-hmm.
But it also made it very difficult to have bootleg games run on those consoles.
Yeah.
So the Japanese version of the NES didn't have that lockout technology. Only the ones made it for the US and Europe.
Yeah, okay.
So
I'm with you.
So basically the Nintendo consoles that were being imported by Taiwan and China and India and stuff, these were the Japanese versions of the console that didn't have the lockout technology. It made it way easier for bootleg NES games to run on those consoles.
Gotcha.
And thus you have a market that kind of like develops.
And that's how you get this game.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Okay. So as I hinted earlier, the developer of Titanic, Hummer Technologies, was mostly known for their bootleg demakes of other games. So Street Fighter 2, Mortal Kombat 2 and 3, Aladdin, Super Mario World, Tekken, Earthworm Jim. These were not games that were made for the original NES.
Okay.
But they were all games that Hummer Technologies made a version of that ran on NES hardware.
Okay, okay. That's kind of cool. So that'd be like taking a game that's for the PlayStation 5 and making it so you could have it on the Switch. Kind of illegally.
Yeah, if you're doing it illegally, I guess.
Well, yeah, because that would be, they're doing it illegally, right?
Yeah, so in some cases, they're like, you know, they'll take the sprite directly from the SNES game, and then they'll remake it in 8-bit graphics, and they'll kind of make their own game with it.
Okay. They sound like an interesting company.
Yeah. So then a publisher would buy their version of the game, put it on a cartridge, and sell it, in some cases, right next to legitimate copies of the game. So you go into like a game store, like, okay, here's the SNES Mortal Kombat 3. Oh, I don't have an SNES, but I still have a Nintendo, so let me buy the Nintendo Mortal Kombat 3.
Dang. I mean, that's smart.
Yeah.
It's a good way to trick people.
Hummer Technologies finished developing Titanic in 1998, but by the late 90s, the NES bootleg market was starting to dry up.
Oh.
It's
R.I.P.
It's actually pretty incredible that it lasted as long as it did.
Yeah.
Their publisher, Kaixin, decided not to release it and said they were no longer interested in publishing original works. I'm assuming they mean work that's not based on an existing game, because Titanic didn't have a game associated with it.
Yeah.
That they were basing their game on. It was okay. It was more of an original, like, made from scratch versus their other games, which were like, hey, this is not the legitimate copy of this game. So Hummer Technologies was not just going to let a perfectly good game go to waste.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't do that.
There was a book series that was blowing up in the late 90s, early 2000s. Do you know what it was?
Harry Potter?
Yeah, Harry Potter.
Wow.
So in 2001, Hummer Technologies would modify Titanic into a game called Harry's Legend. They made some tweaks to the gameplay and sprites and released it through Silicon Application Corp.
Okay.
So Harry's Legend actually released before Titanic, even though Titanic was developed first.
Huh. And Titanic, the movie, is way older than Harry Potter.
Yeah. And in Harry Potter, they actually had cartridges. So.
Huh.
You can technically, I think they're pretty rare, but you can find a copy of Harry's Legend on the NES.
Did you look on eBay to see if you could find one?
I tried to find like copies of any of these cartridges and I could not.
Oh man.
I bet there actually might be pretty valuable at this point, but
probably.
Yeah. So by 2003, you would think that the market for bootleg NES games would be completely and totally dead, right?
Well, I don't know. Cause like you have an NES. How often do you get to buy new games for your NES? Like at this time. So I would imagine if you found one, it'd be like, sweet, a new game for my NES.
Well, at this point, like here in the US, the PS2 and Xbox were already out.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I probably wouldn't be, but like, you know, other people might.
So I feel like at this point in time, most people weren't still playing games on the original
for
NES.
Sure.
Yeah.
Most people were playing like Halo and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah, I remember this time like doing Halo LAN parties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I definitely wasn't going to go out and buy an original NES game.
But I feel like now you would. Like if Nintendo was like, hey, we're going to come out with a new NES game for funsies, everyone would be buying that crap up.
Yeah, it's one of those circular things that now it's like retro and stuff.
Yeah.
It can work, but this was like the wrong time for it, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
Around this time, yeah, around 2003, Hummer Technologies started working with publisher ABAB Soft. Assume that's how it's pronounced, or okay. ABAB Soft, to make multi-cart games. Do you know what a multi-cart game is?
A game that's multiple cartridges?
Well, it's one cartridge, but it contains multiple games.
Oh, okay. Okay, not one game that's multiple cartridges. It's like the other way around.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive, I guess,
yeah.
A little bit. In this case, they were working with ABAB Soft to sell like a cartridge containing a bunch of copies of their game, like, you know, 15-in-1, 5-in-1, 4-in-1.
Yeah.
You know. So the first official release of Titanic was in 2005, where it was included on a multi-cart game called Super Near Cart 15-in-1.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty epic.
Yeah. And then there's not a lot of information on what happened to Hummer Technologies after 2006. But I did find that they ceased operating sometime in the 2010s.
Yeah. I think it was one of their last games from what I saw.
Yeah, I think so.
On Reddit.
Think that's correct.
They
would surprisingly like keep selling their games for a pretty long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I got a fun fact about it here coming up.
Oh, okay.
I got three fun facts for you.
Nice.
The first fun fact has to do with a few variants and other names that Titanic went by.
Okay.
For example, in one case, the game was broken into two separate games, with Jack's part being called Hacker and Rose's part being called Heroine.
Okay, this game is not long enough to be split into two. Oh my gosh, those would be like the shortest games ever.
Yeah. In other versions, the title screen was removed and the music was replaced with the music from Harry's Legend. Other names include Shipwreck, Perils of the Sea, and Titanic, but spelled correctly.
Huh. Okay.
So
it's been through a lot, this game.
Yeah, they've kind of changed it and tweaked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So fun fact number two, the final release of Titanic was in 2006, and it came out for a plug-and-play console developed by Hummer Technologies called the Z-Dog.
Wow, that sounds cool. Were you able to find one of those on eBay?
I looked. I could not.
Dang.
So, yeah, the Z-Dog contained 43 other Hummer Technology games as well, and it was a plug-and-play console, so you plug it into your TV and play any of those brilliant Hummer Technology games.
Oh, man. Gosh. If anyone happens to be listening and you own one of these random things, please let us know.
Seriously. All right, so fun fact number three, my final fun fact. There was an actual official Titanic video game called Titanic Adventures Out of Time.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of what you would expect of a Titanic video game, like a point-and-click adventure for the Windows and Macintosh, where you was like kind of choose-your-own-adventure style. Mm-hmm. There was also a game released later for the Wii called Titanic Mystery.
Oh, the Wii.
Yeah.
They'll take anything and make a game out of it for the Wii.
There's so much shovelware that came out for the Wii. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So that's my history.
Cool. Good job. Yeah.
Thanks.
A lot of history for a short game.
Yeah, it was kind of cool learning about bootleg games and stuff,
mm-hmm.
where they came from, because, yeah, they weren't popular here in the U.S.
Yeah, I didn't even know what that was, so that was pretty cool. It makes playing this game kind of worth it. To learn all that new knowledge.
I think so. So we'll skip over the story, since the story is the Titanic, but written slightly different.
And pretty much non-existent. The story doesn't go with the gameplay at all, really.
I mean, the story doesn't make any sense in this game. And we'll get into our pros now.
Okay.
So what did you like about this game, Nikki?
You know what? I'm going to start off nice and optimistic. And I don't know if this is a part of the original game, but the one we were playing, you were able to save anytime you wanted.
Oh, we played on an emulator way you did that. So that had nothing to do with the game.
Oh, well, darn. Okay, well, my second one that I like is the first part of the game. The music is pretty much My Heart Will Go On over and over again. And I like that song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah.
I feel like they captured it well. I think there's another, was there another Celine Dion song later in the game?
I don't think so.
I feel like there was, but who knows?
Maybe, but I don't know. I don't think so.
All right. So one of the things I liked is, well, obviously the game is not very good.
No, it's horrible.
But I will say it's not the worst game I've ever played.
Really?
Yeah, I would rank it higher than Project Runway for the Wii. I would rank it higher than Shaq Fu for the SNES.
Hmm.
And I would probably rank it higher than Home Alone 2 for the SNES.
Not me. Not me. It's below all those games for me.
It's below Project Runway, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I like designing clothes. Okay.
I mean,
game, we'll get into the cons, but my last pro for this game is that it's very short.
Yeah.
And for this game, that's a pro.
I did have that it was short, maybe too short, but it does make it beatable. As frustrating as the final boss is, it definitely is like playable and beatable, like probably in an hour if you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Playing for the first time. I mean, there are people who can do it like in like 8 minutes or something, 10 minutes.
Yeah, it probably took me maybe like an hour and a half if I actually beat it without your help.
Yeah. So the things that are good, in my opinion, about this game are the things that are probably unintentional. For example, okay. The concept itself is pretty funny, like having Jack and Rose beat up the other passengers of the crew. It makes no sense in the terms of the story of the Titanic.
Nothing makes sense.
But it's so absurd, it's to the point where it's pretty funny. And the story is actually unintentionally pretty funny, too. It's this Titanic story, but summarized by someone who does not speak English that well. So it's full of like errors and grammatical mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I even have an example quote.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a quote from the game. The Titanic had the strong damages and it was getting sinking. Unfortunately, there was not enough saving equipment to save whole passengers' life. It's quotes like that like you're reading the text and it's like cracking you up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that part was kind of funny and entertaining, but I don't know if it's enough to like make me love this game.
My final pro is I think it's cool that you can play as both Jack and Rose in the game. And they both have different fighting styles.
Kind of. Not really. I mean,
I'd say yeah. One of the notes I noticed was that Rose's low kicks don't go low enough to like hit the rats.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to like avoid the rats with her.
Yeah.
So just those like little subtle differences. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, you're really reaching there.
All right, whatever. What do you have as a con?
I have a lot of stuff I don't like about this game. The first one is the controls are kind of lousy. They're kind of fidgety. They don't always work.
Yeah.
The game is kind of glitchy.
I'd say, yeah, sometimes the hits feel cheap. Like, did that really hit me?
Mm-hmm. And there was like a couple times I had to just restart the game, but I don't know if that's the emulator thing or if that's just the game.
I actually did have the game soft lock on me. So I used the elevator with Rose when I had low health and she basically wouldn't come out of the elevator and I had to reset the game and start over from scratch.
Yeah, like something similar to that kind of happened and I had to start over too.
Yeah. So one of my cons is that final boss.
Mm-hmm.
You fight where you play as Rose.
Yeah.
You have to fight Carl and it's like completely ridiculous. He can keep attacking you like...
He's extremely overpowered.
Yeah, as soon as you get up, you'll get hit again. So you can basically get caught in a loop.
Yeah.
Where he'll just continuously hit you.
And he's pretty much the only challenging thing about the whole entire game. So it's kind of like they had to make him really hard or else you could beat the game so fast and it would not be challenging at all. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Carl is definitely overcompensating for the rest of the game.
Yeah, yeah. This game is just unimaginative to me. It's like they just took some random pre-programmed beat-em-up game and then just put Jack and Rose sprites on it and put some Titanic music to it.
Yeah, I
feel like none of the enemies make sense with the movie or anything. Like there's rats and snakes and I'm all, I guess there is some rats on the Titanic, but like that wouldn't be an enemy if I was making with the game, you know.
Yeah, I feel like this harkens back to an era of old Nintendo games where it was like they would release a game based on a movie or something and instead of like, you know, making the game per like scene and stuff like that, it was basically just a platformer run and shoot or something like that. It was just always like something really simple and boring and uncreative, and then
it's kind of like, oh, we have this game, what can we do to make it popular? Oh, that movie's really big right now.
It's like, how can we get a game on the shelf as quickly as possible to fit with this movie? It doesn't matter if it's like it has any kind of relation at all.
It kind of reminds me of those knockoff DVDs, like, or movies that come out whenever there's a big popular movie, like, you know, Space Jam or something. There's always going to be a knockoff that's like, you know,
Jamming in Space, Basketball
Rocket Jam or something. Yeah, or like when Disney comes out with, you know, Frog and the Princess or something, it'll be like, oh, well, now it's going to be the Snake and the Princess, you know, it'll be like the ripoff one.
The cover will look almost identical.
Exactly. It's like just trying to trick the tired parents. They're like, oh, whatever. This is good enough.
Some kind of reptile and a princess.
Yeah.
I don't remember which
whatever.
One.
Whatever. Sweet. It's on sale for $5. Nice.
That's the real reason. It's like, oh, I can buy this for $5 and just say I got the wrong one.
Yeah. I also found this game like really repetitive. So like, every enemy, I don't know, you're just doing the same hits. There's not really combinations or anything you can do.
There are. I mean, well, not really combinations, yeah. But if you hit A and B together, they'll do like a different style of attack.
Yeah, but
I actually found this out later. There's also a frame canceling trick you can do,
mm-hmm.
which is really helpful. I'll get into that later, though.
Okay. Anything else that you want to say that you don't like about this game?
They tried their best. I mean, well,
you think they tried their best? I don't know about that.
It was made by one person, you know. Well, not one person. It was programmed by one person, so.
Yeah, okay.
I'll cut him a little bit of slack here.
I mean, I guess if it was one of our friends that made it, I would be like, yeah, that's pretty freaking sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, we're here to review the game, and I'm reviewing it.
I'm not recommending it for other people to play. Yeah. I don't think it's a good game.
Yeah, do not play.
But if you have played the game, just to our audience, like, how do you feel about it? Is it better than, like, any of the other games we've mentioned? Like, is it better than Project Runway, for example?
Yeah, I doubt anyone else has played that game either.
Is it better than Home Alone 2?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's a good question. All right, so moving on to strategy. What kind of strategies did you come up with to get through this game?
Save a lot.
Yeah, you were using
save
states. And
just kick, 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 or punch,
you were
the
using
whole time.
The low punch, right?
I don't know. I was pressing buttons.
So,
isn't that what beat 'em ups are for?
So the thing about the low punch is that you can frame cancel with the low punch mm-hmm. in this game. So,
and you keep saying
or animation cancel.
You
sorry.
Keep saying that, and I don't know what that means.
So like, it will override character animations when you low punch.
Okay.
So if you're like lying on the ground, you can override your character animation of lying on the ground with a low punch.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think I was using that.
But if you're doing it a lot, then you were probably overriding some animations. So it makes sense that that was a effective strategy for you.
Yeah, effective. Sure. There's not a lot to this game. So what do you have for strategy?
So I'd say boxes are a big strategy for me, or like just obstacles in between you and the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a box between you and the bad guy, they'll usually have to jump over them. And then, you know, when they're in the air, they're kind of vulnerable to attack.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good.
So you can just kind of like keep kicking at them or punching them.
While they're in the air. Yeah.
Yeah, but it keeps them from getting too close and like continuously hitting you too. So having some kind of obstacle there helps a lot. I'd say knocking enemies into the water is a pretty good strategy.
Yeah, if you can do it.
The first couple of times I beat the boss, the final boss, he's so ridiculous, but I managed to just get a lucky punch and he fell in the water.
Yeah, I know. And then you kept trying to do it again and you couldn't do it.
I couldn't recreate that. It was so random, but
you eventually beat him fair and square though.
It's kind of not fair and square at all.
Well, kind of.
I had to keep canceling out my character deaths.
Yeah. It was a glitch in the game though.
The down punches. Yeah. All right. So moving on. Do you have anything else for strategy?
No, that's
okay.
This game's pretty simple.
So moving on to the future, I don't think there's going to be a sequel to the original Titanic.
Yeah, we already mentioned earlier that Hummer technology is kind of, you know, is defunct now.
Yeah, I did hear Netflix bought the movie rights to Titanic.
Oh my God. Probably already made it. It's in the vault. They're waiting.
I would love to see that movie, like Titanic reimagined as a beat 'em up, like a turf war style movie.
I mean, that sounds pretty funny. I wonder if like whenever Titanic the movie goes into public domain, you know, in a million years or whatever,
yeah.
Some random film house will make that movie for you.
I hope so.
When we're like 100 years old.
All right. So yeah, nothing for the future. What about your challenge, Nikki?
Okay, so I did beat it technically, sort of, but we were playing together. So we were taking turns playing, and we beat it that way.
So did you?
So does that count?
So did you personally beat the final boss
all by myself?
By yourself.
All by myself. No, I didn't.
Okay.
So I got frustrated with that boss at the end, and then I was just like, "F it, I'll rap." This is a crappy game, and you guys are getting a crappy rap, okay?
All right.
Suck it.
Let's hear Nikki's crappy rap.
You are Titanic is the star, sinking like the car. Your love leaves a scar, no cigar. Near, far, where is the bar? Moonshine in a jar, goes down like tar, burns like char. Life is not par. Rose and Jack forever. Rose and Jack forever. So, Eric, I tried to be a little silly with that one. Since the game's silly and stupid, so the rap should be silly and stupid.
That's fine. You put about the same effort the developers of the game put into the game.
You know what? Thank you.
You knew what was the right move was. All right. Now it is not your turn.
Yeah, we have a special announcement.
We have a surprise special announcement.
Our next episode, we will have a special guest. Our good friend Suzanne is going to join us.
All right. And do you want to hear what her challenge is?
Yeah, we're going to be playing Stardew Valley, right?
Yeah. Cool. So we're playing the game Stardew Valley, which is a classic. And Suzanne writes, "My challenge for the podcast is to beat The Journey of the Prairie King in the Saloon." So that's the arcade cabinet in the saloon.
Nice. Yeah, I just started playing, so I know what you're talking about.
I've put a lot of hours into this game.
You have, for sure.
And I had no idea that you could actually beat the Prairie King game.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just thought it kind of like looped forever. But yeah, I guess I learned something new that you can actually beat that game.
I wonder if Suzanne has actually beaten it. We'll have to ask her.
That's a good question. Yeah.
Well, cool. I like this game so far, so I'm excited to keep on playing it.
So you've already started it?
I did start it.
Okay.
Because I know that it's kind of a long game, and I knew we asked Suzanne if she would be on this episode with us to do Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
So I knew we were going to do Stardew Valley, and I was like, oh, I should probably go ahead and start playing it because I know how many hours you put into it.
You don't have to put that many hours into it.
Yeah.
In fact, there are people who speedrun this game.
What?
Intentionally not putting a lot of hours into it.
Okay. Well, that's kind of cool. I want to watch one of those.
But usually I think you're speedrunning a specific objective because the game is pretty sandboxy and wide open and stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of different things it seems like you can do.
Yeah. But all right.
Also, I'm excited to have Suzanne on.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. We're going to have a good episode.
All right.
All right. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.